We are in Malachi, the last couple verses in the Old Testament here. Malachi chapter 4, if you go to the book of Matthew and you go back one book, you'll be in Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, I want to talk to you about turning of the heart this morning. And your heart is that's the most important thing. If your heart's not right, all the outside can be right, but that won't be right for long. And if your heart's right and the outside isn't right, it won't be long and get the other stuff lined up right. So the heart, the Lord's after your heart. This particular set of verses that we're going to read is a prophecy to the nation of Israel, but there's tremendous application in it. And what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read these verses. We're going to take a phrase from these verses. I'm going to show you another place in the Bible, in Proverbs, and put together a principle, and then we're going to make some application with that principle about your heart and how it applies to parents, it applies to children, it applies to all of us, really. But the Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments." All right, so Malachi is talking to Israelites. They know what he's talking about. The law of Moses, they're familiar with that. You may not know what he's talking about, but that's okay, because it's not addressed necessarily specifically to you to remember that. But the law is a good thing. It's good to remember. If you're not familiar with it, it's good to get familiar with it. Verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That phrase there, to turn the heart. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. If somebody could have their heart turned, or you were able to turn someone's heart, or turn the children's heart to the fathers and the father's heart to the children, that's quite a ministry. So Elijah has quite a children's ministry there going. He turns the children's hearts to the fathers and the father's hearts to the children. And he will literally show up again on this earth before Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus Christ showed up, one of the things that people kept saying was he must be Elijah, because that was, they understood the prophecy. And if you remember anything about Elijah's departure from this earth, he never died. He was just taken away in a chariot of fire. And Elisha saw him go up, and the mantle fell and all that kind of stuff. But his body never expired, so to speak, never died. And he'll be back. But that's not really what I want to look at this morning. In verse 6, "And the turning of the heart," is what I'd like to look at. Says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." All right, look over here in Proverbs. We're going to put this verse with another verse, and hopefully you learn a principle from this that will make some sense to you. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. I encourage you to look at these verses, so it's not just, you're not just taking my word for it or any of that. It'll help you learn your Bible. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Remember the turning of the heart in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Now watch this phrase. Watch how it's done. Proverbs 21, 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." So that verse doesn't say that God just magically forces the king's heart to move in a certain direction. That verse says the heart moves like a flow of water. And if you can move a flow of water in a certain direction, those same principles apply to moving a heart. If you think about how you control, because people control the flow of water all the time. You build houses, you control the flow of water to the sink, to the tub, to the shower, all that kind of stuff. What you're doing is directing the flow of water in order to accomplish a purpose, and in order to put that flow in a direction that you want it to go. And so the principle that's at work here is this: the heart, out of the heart, the issues of life. And when the heart moves, it moves like water moves. So here's what we'll look at. Three principles about that motion and how it applies to fathers and sons and parents and children and parents and God's children and God the Father and all that kind of thing. But let's pray real quick one more time and apply this principle, and let's see it at work in our own lives. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us see the movement of our own hearts in all this, and make this principle applicable to us, either in our own lives and as parents, and as children, as whatever the case is, Lord. I pray that we would see our own reflection in all this, and allow you to instruct us in this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the principle at work is this. The way the flow of water moves is the way, very similar to the way a human heart moves. And if you were to apply that principle, there's three things we'll look at for sure here this morning. One of the ways, and we'll get right into it. One of the ways you can control, or I say control, you can direct a flow of water is you can dig out a ditch, and you can let that water flow to the lowest point. I just as an example, it could be a bad thing, but. Water seeks, it seeks the lowest level, kind of like your heart just seeks the lowest level. It just follows the path of least resistance, just like your heart that just follows the path of least resistance, and it seeks its own level, just like your heart. And if you were to dig a ditch, you would probably find after a rain that's where the water got. That's where the water went. I mean, I've told you about our garden experiences, and We finally made some raised beds, but there at the first, when we first moved to Beeville, it's been like 6 years. That's a long time. Feels like a long time. Actually, it doesn't feel that long. It is a long time. But anyway, when we moved here, we had a little garden beside the house, and apparently that garden was in, half of it was in a low spot. And so the first good rain, and everything was completely underwater. Half the garden underwater for a long time. And so one way to direct the path of water, because water just goes to the lowest point, it just follows the path of least resistance. One way, just like your heart, that's what your heart does, that's what your kids' heart do, that's the way you are, it's the way I am. One way to direct the flow of water is, maybe you can dig a ditch that you want this path of water to flow in. I mean, I think of irrigation. Some of you guys know about the stuff more than I do. But you can dig a path. You can make a path for the water to flow, just like you could make a path for the heart to flow in. I'll give you a verse for that. Let me show you one. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, and this one talks about dads again. fathers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, Paul says this to the Thessalonians, he says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." You know what Paul did? He made an example. He dug a ditch, figuratively. He dug a path with his life, and he told the Thessalonians, "I've made a path with my life. You've observed that path. Now, if you follow that path, this is the way to go. You've observed how we behaved ourselves. You've observed how we handled our matters. You've watched how we conducted our business. And you know what we did? We dug out a little trench for that water to flow in and said, here's an example to follow. Here's a way to do things. Here's a way to serve God. Paul says, we provided a path to walk in. He says, we exhorted, we comforted, we charged, as a father doth his children. I use this verse, I picked up this verse because it reminds me of our verse in Malachi where it talks about particularly Elijah turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. But you know what is needed in all of our lives, but in kids' lives, I'll give you this example. When kids do things, when you did things as a teenager that weren't right to do, generally it was you were following the crowd, you were following what everyone else was doing. You didn't come up with these ideas on your own. Just an example. People didn't start wearing their hat backwards on their own or doing the flat brim on their own. They watched someone do that. And then they thought, "That's a good idea, I'll do that. That looks cool, I'll do that." Or they pulled their pants down and they said, "That's cool, I'll do that." Or the point is, while people say, "I want to be my own person," you're not your own person. You just follow the crowd. You just do what everyone else does. They got a tattoo, I get a tattoo. They got an earring, I got an earring. They got this, I got this. We just follow the crowd. Our heart seeks the low. It'll follow the path of least resistance. So here's what we can do as parents. We can make it either difficult to serve God or we can make it easy to serve God. We can make it easier to serve God. We can either help and charge, like Paul says, "I exhorted, I charged, I comforted." What was he comforting in? Not just general comfort. He comforted in this, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. What was he comforting? What was he charging? That ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory. You know what Paul is saying with his life? It's okay to serve God. It's okay to do it this way. It's okay not to be like everyone else. It's okay to be vocal. It's okay to be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's okay to do it this way. And so Paul he dug out a little ditch. And he looked back over to the people and he said, just follow the example. Just like your heart, my heart, we need an example to follow. As much as you may not think you do, you need an example to follow. You need to be an example. Paul said to Timothy, "Look, be an example. I know you're young, but be an example." First principle, prepare. You can prepare a way for the heart to move. Or you can prepare a way for the heart not to move. We can make things difficult. We can if the principle's at work and I understand water's going to flow in this direction. If I dig out a trench, I can let the water flow. Or I cannot dig out a trench and just hope the water goes in the direction I want it to go, which I think is what the Christian idea is. I just take folks to church and hopefully they kind of figure out where they're supposed to line up or whatever. And I don't practice any of this stuff. I don't show my children how to do this. In fact, every time I don't do it, I make an excuse for it. And then, well, you know, I'm just a sinner. I'm just all that. You know, Paul doesn't talk like that. He says, look, you watched how I behaved myself, how I conducted my business. I was either a testimony or I caused people to blaspheme God. I did one or the other. So if the heart moves, here's just the principle at work. If the heart's going to travel in a certain direction, just like the water flows in a certain direction, I can be an example. I can set out a predetermined path. Look, you may not be a pastor or whatever, but you can at least learn how to serve God. You can at least learn how to, I mean, if Jesus Christ truly saved your soul, was that it? Or we just, you know, I'm glad I got that taken care of. Now I'm going to live my own life. The Bible says you're bought with a price. And not to make it difficult on you, not to be mean, God's way is much better than your way. His plan is much better than your plan. I think it's as adults, as teachers, as pastors, as parents, and even children who are growing up, we have folks that are looking or watching. Be an example. Mark out a path and let the water flow down that path. That's the principle at work here. He said we exhorted, we comforted, we charged. Charged them to walk worthy of God. We comforted you to walk worthy of God. We exhorted you. We encouraged you. We cheered you up. We emboldened you. We advised you. All those kinds of things. All those things are what Paul's doing. So the first principle, just like water moves, just like your heart moves, you can prepare a way for the heart to move. And don't expect the heart to move in a direction if you don't prepare the way. If you haven't prepared the way, I mean, crossing your fingers and even prayer without practice. Prayer without practice. You know what God says of that? He says, I don't listen to it. Look, if you regard iniquity in your heart and you come begging me for help, and you don't plan on applying what I'm telling you, I don't listen to that. Prayer without practice, we cross our fingers and pray and hope to God something works out. That's not Christianity. That's not what we're talking about. On the other hand, on the positive side, you can prepare a path. You can dig out a trench and make it a little bit easier for those who are watching you, whether kids, whether students, whatever, you can make it a little bit easier for their heart to follow a path, the right path. Here's another thing. If you want the water to go in a certain direction, you can dig a trench, or you can set up some boundaries. You know, when folks decide they're going to build a dam, they capture the water by setting up a boundary and make that water serve a purpose. If you want the water to serve whatever purpose it is, making it serve or any purpose or whatever, you set up some boundaries, you set up some walls, and you direct that thing. You know what we got around here there's irrigation, there's water lines to sinks and things like that. You know what folks have done? They've gone in, they've set up boundaries for the water to follow so that when the water moves and starts moving, it follows a path And when it follows that path, it comes out and serves a purpose. That's the heart movement. So the second principle is this. Just like the way the water moves, if you want it to conduct it in a certain direction, you might prepare some boundaries to help define the direction. Boundaries do a couple things. Boundaries define direction, and boundaries define purpose. For instance, you've probably done this, going back to the garden thing, or building a house, or try to use some examples you guys may know about, be very familiar with. You highlight a piece of area, and you set up some boundaries. And you know what you're doing? You're defining the purpose of that piece of ground. This piece of ground is going to be for the purpose of a house. This piece of ground is going to be for the purpose of a garden. This piece of ground is going to be for the purpose of whatever. But you know what you did with the boundaries? You just defined the purpose. You just gave it purpose by giving it a set of boundaries that say, okay, here's the piece of ground that I'm going to use for this express purpose. You know what you do with when you conduct or you steer? I think about it with the, you know, you go to Schlitterbahn, you've got the tubes and all that kind of stuff, and they got these predetermined paths for the water to go on. You get in your tube, you slide down and all that kind of stuff. But they got these walls, and the way they conduct that water is they got these boundaries set up, and it serves the purpose that they're trying to accomplish with it. Boundaries have that usefulness, that utility. They define purpose. Now, you know what the lack of boundaries does? There's no purpose to it. There's nothing going to happen here. There's no direction. It's not going to move in any certain direction. It may just spill on the ground. It doesn't have any particular function. But you know, you set up some boundaries and you give it definition, you give it purpose, you give it direction. Boundaries help define direction, just like in water, just like in the heart. Paul said it this way, I'll just read this one to you. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." To bring someone up is not to say, hey, go to church, or hey, go tell your friends. To bring someone up is to take them by the hand and say, come with me. Let me show you how to do this. Watch me do this. Watch me do this. And that is where so much of our Christianity is missing. It's these orders given, but no, come with me and let me show you how to do it. It's, hey, go out and do this and serve God, or don't serve God. Doesn't really make any difference to me. Hopefully you do, but, you know, far be it from me to show you how to do it. Isn't that why God gives parents? Isn't that why children don't raise themselves? They have someone to look to be guided by. Guide the heart. You can, number one, dig out a trench, an example to follow. Number two, you can prepare some boundaries. Bring them up. You're here. You don't send your kids to church. You brought them to church. You bring them. Pray for them to be godly. Show them what godliness is. Instead of crossing our fingers and hoping things turn out right. If you want, again, the illustration, if you want the water to move in a certain direction, and God certainly wants it to move in a certain direction, God certainly has some plans. He certainly has some designs, and he certainly didn't write this book just to hear himself talk. He certainly has some plans, and I assure you those plans are better than your plans, they're better than my plans, they're better than any of our plans. He has some plans. Part of those plans include, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Solomon said it this way, he said, my son, give me thine heart, and listen to this, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's pretty bold. Watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm doing. Prepare some boundaries. I think about it this way. I know that kind of goes along with the whole dig in the trench thing. But there's some boundaries to it as well. Here, I think of it this way in another illustration, maybe a better one. If you don't put a tomato cage around a tomato plant, it will just go everywhere, and the tomatoes may or may not rot in the ground because they're all in the ground already, they're in the dirt, and you're probably going to lose most of those tomatoes because they're just already in the dirt. But if that tomato plant has some boundaries to it, you know what happens with it? It becomes very productive, or it at least has the potential to become very productive. And you put that little cage around it and help it grow up straight and not crooked, and grow up straight, and just like a plant. Maybe you want a tree to grow up straight. You know how you help a tree grow up straight? You put something straight beside it and tie it to it. You know what happens? It grows up straight. That's the idea. That's the idea. Prepare some boundaries and help define the direction. Those things will help. It'll help emotionally. I think You were a kid one time. You were a teenager, or maybe you still are. Maybe you're 40 years old and you still are. I don't know. You know what we all want? We all want to be accepted. We all want to find a place of acceptance. We all want to find a place of rest. We all want to find a place where we can be comforted. We want to fit in. We don't want to be at odds with everyone. We want to find a place where we fit in and be accepted. And a note in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ. The nurture of the Lord. What does that mean to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord? Well, nurture is just like, it's like nourishing. It's like food and diet. It's something that promotes growth, education, instruction. That's nurture. But it's not just general nurture. It's bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's purpose. That's why He put parents to have children, and not children to have parents. It's parents have children, and they raise them, hopefully, and you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How about the admonition? Admonition is reproof. It's counseling. It's instruction and duties. It's caution. It's direction. That comes from someone who's already walked through this life a little bit. That comes from somewhere where there's someone who can pass on some information. The Bible says, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about these things are written for our learning and for our admonition. And the reason is, so you don't have to walk that path. You can learn from the past and apply that to the future. Some boundaries, some guidelines, some directions. So two principles, and deal with one more. The heart moves like water. He says he turns it whithersoever he will, just like a river. You can dig it out, set an example, make a path, make it easier. It's not going to be easy, but you don't have to be part of the problem. You can be part of the solution. You don't have to encourage bad behavior. You don't have to congratulate bad behavior. You can congratulate good behavior. Encourage good behavior. The more we congratulate bad behavior, the more you're rewarded for bad behavior, the more it's encouraged, the more it's accepted. The more we, okay, that's okay, and justify it, the more it goes on. You know what that is? That's no boundaries. There's just no boundary. This is okay, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. I do this and it's okay. Where am I not okay? Where is my direction here? It's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say this is a good way to go and this is a bad way to go. It's okay not to congratulate sin and identify sin. That's okay. It's okay. In fact, it will help. It will help people. So water flows, the heart flows. Here's the last principle, or the last application of it. Sometimes debris gets in the way, and it makes it hard for water to move. Sometimes rocks get in the way, and tree branches, and leaves, and things just pile up, and what happens is it prevents the water from moving in the direction it's supposed to go. And you find out, maybe you found this out in your life. Maybe you found this out in your life. Because God definitely, again, has a purpose for your life and your direction in life. He has a purpose for every human being. Maybe you're finding out that God's influence and the movement of your heart, God's influence has been stopped. It's sort of getting stopped up. Maybe it's too much alone time. You're just alone too much. Maybe you know this pretty well, I'm sure. But sometimes when you're alone with your own thoughts, that's not a great thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes you need to be. But sometimes you can choose to be alone because you know what you want to do when you're alone. And you don't really want anyone else knowing what you're doing. Maybe it's too much alone time. Maybe it's certain friends. I have these friends, and I find out when I'm with these friends, they don't talk about Jesus Christ. They're not interested in church, and I find out I get less interested in the things of God when I'm around these people. That's not good. That's some things that are preventing the flow the right way. Maybe it's here's one that we all have this one. Maybe it's our phones and our iPads. Maybe we're finding out that our phones and our iPads keep us away from God more than anything else. Maybe we're finding out I'm just spending all this time on my phone and I'm not interested in the things of God. And I get less interested as days go by because I'm so wrapped up in what's the next feed or what's the next storyline or what's the next this or what's the next that. Look, I mean, all these things, they're tools. It's tools. But if you can't use it right, it's a device that'll hurt you. Maybe it's what you're watching. Maybe it's what you're listening to. Well, I'm just going through a list of things. And you may find that some of these things you participate in, and you find yourself, after you've participated in this thing, further away from God and really not even wanting to have anything to do. You're not even interested in the things of God anymore. You just occupying your time with other stuff. We're all guilty of that. We all do it these days. Here's the point. Get the debris out of the way so the movement of the water, the heart can flow in the direction it needs to flow. Get the trash out of the way. Move it out. Start digging it out. Get the rocks out of the way. Get the branches out of the way. Let it move. Let the Lord work. Here's the idea. If you were to do number one and dig a trench so that the water could flow in that direction, and then you were to put a bunch of rocks and branches in the middle of that trench, it wouldn't help you any. The water, it would stop up the progress. The point is, I think it's a great illustration the Lord has there when he talks about the heart moving in a certain way, like it flows like rivers of waters, and these principles at work, and that when Elijah shows up in Malachi, and Malachi says, Elijah's coming, and what he's going to do is he is going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How's he going to do that? Well, he preaches. He's a preacher. He's. We can look at his life. We may do that in the next few weeks. But he preaches. He does some miraculous things in the Old Testament to get people's attention. But he makes a path to follow. He digs out the trash. He makes it. I don't want to say easy, but he makes it easier, I guess, to serve God. And yeah, at the end of Elijah's ministry, he gets a little bit frustrated that the nation didn't just fall on their knees and do right. Three things about your heart and my heart. Prepare a way for the heart to move. Make preparations for the heart to move in a certain direction. Prepare some boundaries that help define the purpose. Prepare some boundaries that help define the purpose. And number three, get the debris out of the way so the water can flow. You can do the first couple things, but if you plug up the flow of water, the first two aren't going to make that much difference if the water can't move. So three things there, just to apply a principle. It makes me think about what Jesus Christ said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water and all that kind of stuff. The heart moves that way. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All the issues, all that stuff flows out of the heart. It comes out of your heart. Let's pray and we'll wrap this up. Father, I pray it's been helpful this morning. Lord, I pray that we would make the applications that we need to make. We've got areas of our lives and this stuff that, it applies to all of us. Our hearts are so prone to wander, which indicates even more of a need to take precautions against that. Lord, I pray you'd help us as parents, help the children, help the teachers, help all of us, Lord. We desperately need help. And you have helped us. You've given us your words. You've given us help that we need. Lord, I pray that you would help us have the moral courage to do the things that need to be done in our lives to help us serve you better. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.